Let's read a few verses together. Amen. Well, the first message in the Epistle of John is definitely concerning God being the light. God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. I hope that all of us will treasure this. Because even after we are saved, we still have so much darkness in our being. Don't think that Christians do not have darkness. If all Christians, after they are saved and they're all in the light, that would be wonderful. Unfortunately, that is not the case. Because after you're saved, this salvation begins with the Holy Spirit within your spirit. And surrounding you, there's still so much darkness. That is why we need the epistle of 1 John to tell us to walk in the light. Doesn't mean that after you're saved, you're automatically walking in the light. No, it's not like that. That is why John said in chapter 1, let's read again together, 1 John chapter 1, 5 to 9, how about that? Please, let's read it together. It's good to read the word. And this is the message
which we have heard from him and declare to you,
that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't say that you have no sin. We Christians still have the flesh. We still have this area accompanying us all the time, wherever you go. So if the Spirit is not strengthened, and if we have not learned to walk by the Spirit, we have a lot of trouble. Remember, John encouraged all of us to walk in the light. Because there are so many believers today not walking in the light. Do not deceive yourselves. We are not perfect yet. We are not mature in the spiritual life. So we still have a lot of trouble. Now John said in chapter 2, my little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. Meaning to say there is still the problem of sin. Right? Victoria was puzzled before by that verse saying that he who was born of God cannot sin. But obviously, John did say that, my little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. Meaning to say that there is still a possibility for the believers to sin. But we should not sin. It is written that we may not sin. There is a possibility. So we Christians must be those who aspire to walk by the Spirit that we may not sin. If you don't know the Spirit and you are not walking by the Spirit, you will have problem with sin. Every day, there'll be a problem. There'll be a problem. So we need to walk in the light. Praise the Lord. The light will always be shining within you, telling you, stop, stop. If you're not in the light, then definitely you are in darkness. And this area is still in darkness, full of darkness. Light is very important in our Christian life. If you're not in the light, you would think you are okay. This is why John said, if you say that you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself. A person who is not in the light will be deceiving himself. You think you're so good, perfect. You think you're so great because you're in darkness. If you are not in the light, you will not realize that you're wrong in this area, that you're not right there. So if you don't know, then you will not change. You will continue in whatever you're doing. And if people tell you that you're wrong, stop, you'll really be offended. And nobody can tell you. And if nobody can tell you that you're wrong, your life will continue in that, what, condition. Because you'll never change. But if you know that you're wrong, then you'll change. You will repent and say, Lord, forgive me. I confess to you my sins. But if you're in darkness, you don't know. You don't know. So if you don't know, you will continue doing what you shouldn't be doing. You'll be behaving in that terrible way, and nobody can tell you because you refuse to accept. And you continue to think that you're right. You're wrong. I'm right. So if nobody can tell you that you're wrong, that's not very good for you. Because there is no cleansing, there is no healing, there will be no change in your life. A person who is constantly being changed and transformed must be a person who is in the light, because then you see, Lord, I'm wrong, forgive me. Change me. I don't want to be like that. We have to be walking in the light all the time. The more you grow in life, the more you realize there are still so many things in your heart that needs to be dealt with. So if you don't know, then I will be feeling very sorry for you, because you won't change. So it is very important for us to be in the light. So if you're in the light, then you will not be deceiving yourself. John tells us that we, the believers, can still be in darkness. There's so much darkness still. Especially, John mentioned a lot concerning sin. Sin. And here, he said, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, so again it says there is a possibility for you to sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Praise the Lord. The Lord has already accomplished redemption on the cross. It is a wonderful salvation that he has accomplished. And now he has ascended. He is at the right hand of the Father, doing what? He is what today? He is your advocate. He is your advocate. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Do you know that you have an advocate before the Father? Do you have an advocate? When do you need an advocate? What is an advocate? When you're wrong, when you're being sued, when you're being accused because you did something wrong. So what do? You go to your lawyer. You need a lawyer. Don't be your own lawyer. What was the saying? A person who is his own lawyer is a what? Is a fool. Is a fool. So, we have an advocate today. Unfortunately, many of you probably do not realize, what do I need an advocate for? I have the precious blood of the Lord. So what do I need an advocate for? So, many of you never went to the Lord Jesus as an advocate. Today he is your advocate. Why? Because you still have a lot of practical problems. But if you think you're all right, then you don't need an advocate. Our God and Father is very righteous. He's very righteous. Don't think he'll close his eyes and just say, okay, whatever, it's wrong, it's all right, forget it. You're my son now, so. Don't worry, you're all right. No, you're not all right. Are you all right? There are so many things that are not right. So many things that you have done offending the Father. In your daily living, you offended so many saints, even without knowing. So, God is still the righteous judge. If my children do something wrong, I'll have to make it right. And if they still will not listen, I get a stick. There's a stick. Kochlöffel. Right. You get a stick. You still will not hear. Now be cool. Our God and Father is a very righteous God. Remember, He is still God. So don't think you can get away with things. No. No, no. Yes, you're a citizen of Canada, but if you do something wrong, you still have to face the judge. Don't think because you're a citizen, you can do whatever you like in this country. No. No. And remember, if you don't deal with it today, one day when the Lord comes back, there is still the judgment seat of Christ. There's still a judgment seat of Christ. I'm not telling this to you, I'm telling this to myself. I have to remind myself. So whenever the light shines in you and you really see, oh Lord, I'm terrible. There's still sin here and there. What do you do? Oh, I take the precious blood. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then you go away and do the same thing tomorrow. Is that the way you deal with it? No, that's not the way you deal with it. If you see that something is wrong, there is sin, that means it's not only the sin, the wrongful act there, it means that there is still a problem in your being. And you have to deal with it. How do you deal with it? I say, oh, praise the Lord, I confess, oh, hallelujah, Father, oh, I'm cleansed. Yes, definitely there is that aspect, but why do you do it again? How come you don't change? There's something wrong there. And if you keep on doing that, you have a problem with the Father. So you need an advocate. You really need an advocate to appease the Father. to speak for you. That's why the Lord, as the great high priest, in Hebrews chapter 5, it says he is there always interceding for you. You need an advocate to intercede for you, speak for you. And he is the only one who can speak for you because he bore all your sins on the cross. And he fulfilled every righteous requirement for God. So he is the only one who can appease the Father. He speaks for you. Isn't that good? And on the other hand, he is the propitiation because he really paid every debt for you. And he will assure the Father, Father, don't worry, I will work in him. I will work in Moses. Just give me a couple of more months, I'll deal with that in Moses. Okay? So, Father, don't take any action now. Let me do the job. Let me do the job. Yes. This is the way the Lord is dealing with us. And he does the job through the anointing indwelling in you. So before God the Father, he is our advocate. And he is the propitiation for our sins. You just do not realize how much the Lord always was there telling the Father, stop, don't worry, wait. Give John a chance. Not this John, but this John. Give him a chance. Trust me, I will work in him. So, on one hand, he is your advocate, speaking for you before the Father. And then he is the divine anointing. In John chapter 2, in the beginning, he is the advocate. Always there, speaking for you, making propitiation, appeasing the Father. And then, on the other hand, he is the indwelling anointing there, anointing you, teaching you all things. Not doctrine. Don't think the anointing is teaching you a lot of doctrine. It is teaching you, hey, stop. Stop, Heidi, that's not right here. He's going to teach you. That's not the way to live. That's not the way to act. No. Let me teach you. Let me show you how you should live. And his teaching is not just telling you, but anointing you. That means he adds his nature. He adds his life, the eternal life, he adds into you. Just like painting, before it was black, right? Yeah. Before it was all dark here and all black. So the anointing is there. Let me just get, where is that? Color red. I'm going to use the color red so that you can see. Use the color red. The anointing is in our spirit here. And unfortunately, because we are fallen, so it's all dark in here. What color is it in your heart?
Black.
Black. Right. You know, we may have different color of skin, but in our heart, we all have the same color. It's black. Really. And so, the anointing will start to anoint you, like painting, to anoint you. Every time you did something there that you shouldn't do. The anointing will give you a chance there. He will teach you. And he teach you by anointing, by just anointing you. You know, if the color of the wall is black and you want to make it white, the first layer you paint it white. It's not white. It will still look black. I don't know how many coating you need to put it in. So don't think it is easy to change black into white. It is not that simple. No. So the anointing there within you will continue to work. That's why the Lord is on one hand before the Father speaking for you. On the other hand, he is also the anointing, painting or imparting the divine nature. His humanity is painting it into your being. And this is very important. You need to cooperate with him. If you tell the Lord, no, stop. Leave me alone. I still want to do my thing. Then the Lord will not force you. Never. The Lord will not force you. The more you cooperate with the Lord and let the Lord do the job, the more you'll be changed and transformed. But if you are not walking in the light, you will think, I'm okay. What are you doing there? Painting my wall. I'm okay, I'm already white. What are you doing there? If you think you're okay, then you wouldn't let the Lord work in you. And the Lord cannot work in you because you think you're okay.
Maybe you
say
you like black. What?
Yes, maybe you said you like black. You like the way you are. And you think you're okay because you don't see. Very unfortunate, many of us are like this. You don't see what you really are. You can see what other people are because you're always watching them. And especially if you think you are the responsible brother, you're always watching. I'm going to watch over the sheep. Watching over the sheep. And you see everybody's mistake. But unfortunately, you don't see your own. That's right. You don't see yourself. No, the light is for yourself. First of all, the light is for yourself. Peter didn't know himself. He thought he was a faithful disciple. I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus unto death. He didn't see that he was in darkness. The Lord said, before the cock crows, you are going to deny me three times. He didn't believe it. He thought he was okay. What happened? He denied the Lord three times. And not only he denied three times, each time it was worse. And the third time he was swearing. He was... I think he was really shocked. He was shocked at how dark he was. Young people, you don't know. You don't know. Brian, you don't know. Peter. Yeah, your name is just right, Peter. Peter. Because we're all Peter. Young people always think they are so capable, they can do this, and they can do that, and so quick to understand, I know everything, I know the Bible. It's not how much you know the Bible. It is the growth in life. The life is the light of man. So if you're not walking, at least trying and learning to walk in the light, you will not see. You're still in darkness. You're still in darkness. So may the Lord have mercy on us and help us to learn to walk in the light. In the light. I know, because I was young once upon a time. I'm a little bit older now. I'm not 100 years old yet, but I'm closer to there than some of you. So the more we learn to walk in the light, the more we really see, not others, but you see yourself. Oh Lord, you feel ashamed for what you were. And if you look back, you will tell the Lord, Lord, I am really nothing. We are nothing. We can do nothing. Perhaps before you think you're very capable, but after a while, you realize, Lord, I can do nothing. Just like Moses. Now there's Moses. But perhaps, who knows, your name is Moses. When Moses was young in Egypt, he was so zealous for God. He was strong and he thought he had the standing, he had the position, he had the authority. And of course, the power is the son of the Pharaoh, adopted. And in trying to help, what did he do? He killed the Egyptian. And he thought he was doing God's people a favor. And that's what we were. So after doing that, what happened? He had to run away. He had to run away. So when the Lord appeared to him again, he was 80 years old. He was 80 years old. He was not 20. If the Lord had appeared to Moses at 20 and called him, get my people out of Egypt, yes, let's do it right away. I can organize that. Let's do it. And I'm going to get Toby and John, and I can organize this. I can even get an army to do that. I'll talk to my mother, and we'll do it. Right? Don't you think so, George? Yes. But when he became 80 and the Lord appeared to him, says, Moses, go to Egypt, face the Pharaoh, and lead my people out. Moses says, No, I can't do it. Send somebody else. Send Toby. Ask Toby to do it. And go to speak to the Pharaoh. No, Lord, I can't speak. I'm a man slow in speech. I can't do it. It was quite different. He was quite different. The Lord has to really do something in our life. I do appreciate so many young people, and I encourage them, but I realize that it's not easy. No. We all need to learn. And the anointing is there, dwelling in you to teach you, not as a professor, teaching you the meaning of the Bible, but imparting to you specially the life, the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. This is what we need today, to change us, to transform us. Without that, it is not possible. The doctrine alone cannot change you. It's very easy to understand. Now, everybody knows what it means, walk in the light. Everybody understands, but to really actually walk in the light, you need the anointing there. You need the light to shine, because God is light. And if you're not spending time and you're not in the fellowship with the Father, you have no light. You have no light. The doctrine is not the light. God is light, but not the doctrine. You're mistaken if you think the doctrine and the teaching is the light. God is light. Of course the word is also light, but only if it is life, if it is spirit. If it is not connected to the spirit, there's no light. You may know the Bible, but that doesn't mean you have the light. You have the lamp there. But if it's not connected to the electricity, there is no current, electrical current, there is no light. You can say, I have the bulb, yeah, but if it's in your hand, there is no light. You have to put it in there, and it should be connected to the current. Then you will have light. If what you know in your head is not connected to the spirit, it doesn't work. You have no light. You have the doctrine. And Paul says, not only you will have no life, it will kill you. And it will make you proud. Paul says, knowledge will puff you up. And Paul was afraid of that. Paul was really afraid of that. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, but I buffet my body and make it my slave instead of giving in to my flesh, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Right? The last verse, I'm sorry, verse 27. Timo, would you read that for us?
27?
Yes, verse 27.
But I discipline my body.
But I discipline my body. And make it?
And bring it into subjection.
Mm-hmm.
Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified.
You can preach to others, but you yourself will be disqualified. That's not very good. I'm telling you all to enter into the kingdom when time comes. He enters in and I don't. That would be terrible. That would be terrible. Right. So, take care of yourself first. Take care of yourself first. Let the light shine in you. We need light all the time. And this light must shine in every corner. You know, God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. But I have the light, but I still have a lot of darkness. So I need this wonderful light of life to shine in me. It's very necessary to shine in my mind, to cast away all the darkness. There's so much shadows in me, in my thoughts. Sometimes you catch yourself thinking about crazy things. What do? Continue to entertain the thought. You should say, Lord, save me. Save me. Immediately you should say, Lord, save me. Stop. This is not what I want. If your heart is desiring other things, you should stop. You should realize that that lust for other things is darkness. We don't have time, but let us go to chapter 2. And John is warning. 1 John chapter 2, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. So, what do you think? Do not love the world. Well, don't love Mercedes-Benz, Beamer. Do not love computers. Do not love I don't know what. So many things in this world you can love. So for you, the world are all these things. But what did John say? All that is in the world, television and cars and cruise and computers and what else? Clothes, fashion, shoes. Apples. He didn't say that. He said, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the eyes. The problem is not with the things, the problem is with your eyes. That's the problem. The problem is not with the sinful things. The problem is with your flesh. Your flesh is attracted to sinful things. Some of you may ask, what is sin? What is sin? John may not give you a list, but Paul gave you a list in Galatians, right? Let me turn to Galatians. I think it's good to know a few things. Paul didn't list everything. If Paul is going to list everything, the whole Galatians will be a list. from chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 6, the very end, you'll have a long list. Let's go to chapter 5. Take a look at the list, beginning in verse 19. Somebody read it to us. Let's have Peter read it to us. Peter. Okay. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19.
Now the works of the flesh are evident.
The works of the flesh, these are sinful fleshly things. Which are
adultery
and fornication.
Uncleanness.
Lewdness,
sorcery,
hatred,
contentions,
jealousies,
outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions,
dissensions, heresies, there is factions, divisions,
envy,
murderers. Wow.
Revelries,
partying,
and the like.
That means etc., etc., etc. etc., 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 and the like. You can have a long list. These are works of the flesh. If you're not in the light, you think it's okay. You just go ahead and do it. Immorality. Look at the world today. Look at the world today. What about gay marriages? Isn't that crazy? Terrible things. Terrible things. We need to be saved. The Lord has to shine His light upon you and me. Because, remember, we all have the flesh with us all the time. Don't think you will not fall into it. I have known quite a few preachers, brothers, who have been preaching and teaching for many years. Goodness, the end was not very good. So don't think you've been a Christian for so many years, you in the church, nothing will happen. No. If you are not walking in the light, many things will happen. That's why, remember, that night at Shirley's place, Paul said, if you see somebody falling into sin or into something that is not right, you should use what? A spirit of meekness. Why? Because don't think you are wrong. You'll be judgmental and thinking that you will not do the same thing. Hey, one day you might be doing the same thing because you have the same flesh. So we do need to walk in the light. And if you're in the light, then the anointing will really help you and add his nature, his life, especially the wonderful virtues of Christ into your being. And that will change you. You'll be transformed and you'll be saved. If not, you will do the same thing again and again and again, and that's not good. That's not good. So when the anointing is painting the heavenly paint into you, praise the Lord, you will change color from black to gray, from gray to white. One layer after another, one layer after another. This is very good. This is really wonderful. So we need the light. And the light must continue to shine. And the more you grow in life, the brighter the light shines. It's impossible to spend time with the Lord and not be enlightened and not to receive the light. In Revelation, the Lord's face is like what? The sun. Not sun during winter time and covered by clouds and you don't see it, but as the sun shining in its might. So if you say that you have fellowship with him and you walk in darkness, it's not possible. So John says you lie. You're not telling the truth. You're pretending. You cannot be. You cannot have fellowship with the Father who is light, and the Lord, his face is like the sun shining in its brightness, and you still walk in darkness. How can it be? John is helping us here, really helping. And if you're really in the light, you can appreciate the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ because it cleanses you. You feel fresh and living and alive instead of carrying so much junk in you. No wonder many times your spiritual life is not in order because there are so many things that shouldn't be there. They're not removed, they're not washed away. So to walk in the light is a must in our Christian life. Don't walk in darkness. Now, the second point that is very important in this eternal life is love. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 7. Starting in verse 7, let us read to verse 11. Please, go ahead.
Brethren, I write no new commandment to you.
He says, brethren? Is it brethren, yeah? Oh, okay. It should be beloved, but maybe there are two Greek text that they're using. Okay, go ahead. Let's start again. Sorry for the interruption. Okay, again, please.
unto you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning.
Praise the Lord. Wait a minute. Let's stop here. New thing is not always good. You still need to keep the old commandment. Don't think the old commandment is obsolete. Anything that is spiritual is never obsolete. Okay, continue.
Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining.
Okay, now is it an old commandment or a new commandment? Yes. The old is the new. Because it is life. If it is not life, it is not living. It is ancient and it is old and it is no good. But if it is life, it is always new. Because our God is always new. He is never old. So don't think, oh, I know that. You know? If you say, oh, I know that already, that means it's old for you. But if you touch that old commandment and you're still learning and you're still really needing, you desire that. You felt, I still need that because it is so important in my life. So that is new to you. That is new to you. Are your glasses new or old? If you say it's old, then throw it away. Why are you still wearing it? Why do you still wear that old glasses? Why? Because you need it every day. So it's like a new glasses to you every day. You still need it. You still need it. The Word of God is life, spirit and life. It will never get old. It will never get old. And yet, on the other hand, it is new. And so the new was the old that you have heard from the very beginning. I believe in chapter 3, it is talking about the same thing. But let us continue to read. What is this commandment? Verse 9, continue to read, please.
He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now.
Mm.
He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him.
But he who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now you can see, love and light were connected right here. Love and light connected here. Chapter 3, let's go to chapter 3. He said the same thing. Beginning in verse 13, let us read.
Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death.
Continue.
Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and we know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him.
Amen. Amen. Yep. This is what the word says here. And verse 11. Let's go back to verse 11. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another, not as Cain, who was the wicked one, and his brother.
And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous.
Amen. What is the message? What is the old message?
We should love one another.
Praise the Lord. Is that a new message? Or is it an old message? The old new. The new old message. Whatever you say, whatever you call it. That message was from the beginning. But it has to be new for you now and today. Don't say, I know. The children like to say, I know. I know, I know. Tell them things, I know. I said, I know you know that I know that you know. The problem is, your knowing is that you don't do it. That's why I have to tell you every day, for years, I know, I know, I know, I know. Shidala, I know. So what if you know? You have to do it now. It has to be new to you. It's not good enough to love last week. I loved the brethren last week. I love the saints last week. No, you love the saints now. Now. It's a new commandment which was old from the beginning, that we should love one another. Let's turn to John. Let's turn to John, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. You know, in this chapter, what does the Lord do? The Lord wash his disciples' feet. And it says, having loved them, beginning of the chapter, having loved his own, he loved them. When?
To the end.
Do you love to the end? You love only up to a certain time and to a certain extent, then you stop. It's not easy to love to the end. So people fell in love, the English word. Falling in love, you fell into it. You fell into it. And after a while, you fall out of it. As fast as you fell in, you fall out. But when the Lord loves, he loves to the end. He loves to the end. That's why this commandment must be new. As long as we are here together in a church life, even before the Lord comes back, and especially after he came back, our love should grow even more complete. Be perfected in his love, the Bible says. To be perfected in his love. So in chapter 13, verse 34, the Lord told them, a new commandment, let's read to you.
A new commandment.
35.
By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
How will people know that we are his disciples? By your preaching? By your explanation of the Bible? You know, when people came in because of the explanation of the Bible, wow, this place has good teaching, and they came. And you know how they're going to leave again? No, because you have the best teaching here. By seeing, you have no love here. Pretty soon, you begin to criticize one another. And pretty soon, you're going to tell them, hey, stop doing that, huh? Hey, you shouldn't do that here. Oh, no, don't do that. Hey, hey, you're going to hang him away. People may come in by the truth, but they will be kept in by the love. Not by your love, because your love is very short, but by the love of Christ. Yes. There's no way you can keep people in a church life except by this wonderful love of Christ. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. So, you loved with the love of Christ. How did Christ love you, Toby? Is it because you're very lovable? He began to laugh. When I asked him, he started laughing. Why did you laugh? Why? Because he realized, no. It's not because I'm very lovable. That's why he laughed. Yeah. Sometimes, and oftentimes, I ask the Lord, why did you choose me? If I were the one, I wouldn't choose me because I know I'm not qualified. Yeah? So why did the Lord love you? How did he love you? Because you have a special quality? Better than anybody else? What do you think? Because you're very talented? Because you're a UBC graduate or U of T graduate, magna cum laude? That's why the Lord chose you. Because you're German, yeah. Even less. So, why did he love you? Nobody can explain, right? You cannot explain. Now, why do you love the saints in the church? Any explanation? You love me, Hannah? Oh, yeah, because you're my uncle. What if I were not your uncle? Why do you love the saints in a church life? You should say, no reason. I just love them. How does the Lord love you? And have you ever thought? Oh, if I think about it, my hair will stand up about myself. My goodness, what did he see in me? Actually, nothing. Nothing. There is nothing in us that is really lovable. So do you choose people to love in the church life? Timo, do you have preference? Your preference? Who do you love more in the church in Fountain Valley? John Yao? Who don't you like in the church life? Maybe I should change my question. We are all exposed under his light. We have so many things against one another. And we say we have life. We say we have life, but I criticize her, I criticize him. I don't like that brother. And I like to avoid Muchang. And I like to be with Toby all the time. Oh, I have fellowship. Ah, my, I like to. And this is eternal life. John will tell you this is death. Not only this is no love, it is death. You still abide in death. Serious business. Serious business. Let's go to John chapter 15. Verse 12, this is my commandment. It's not just an encouragement, it is commandment. It is a command. It is a command. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. So the Lord really loved us. Again, he said at the very end in verse 17, this I command you, that you love one another. And go back to verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So the Lord could love us because he abided in the Father's love. Today we love one another because we abide in his love. Because if you love by your own love, it's very biased. You can only love certain kind of people. And you dislike certain kind of people. And it's impossible by your own life and nature to change. Impossible. But to abide in his love, praise the Lord. Not only you love the saints here in this room, but you love all the believers of the Lord. No preference. Really. John. In James, one day they saw people preaching, but not following them. You remember the story, Anna? What happened? Tell us the story. What did they tell the Lord? To forbid them, yes, that's right. And what else? And if they will not listen, they still continue to preach without following them, Lord, do you want me to ask the Father to send fire down from heaven and consume them? Let's get rid of them. Let's consume them. I'll ask the Father to send fire down like Elijah. I learned from Elijah, that wild prophet. I'm going to send fire down and consume them. How about that? You know what the Lord told them? Wow, you don't know what kind of a spirit you have. This is what we are, naturally. Naturally. Our heart is so narrow. Our heart is like a chicken heart. How big is a chicken heart? This big. This big. So how big is your heart? Only this big. But that's still very small. Right? A little bit bigger than chicken heart. But how big is the heart of God? Paul said what? Paul said, my heart is enlarged towards you. Paul's heart is so big, he could include all the believers in his heart. Paul says, but your heart, he told the Corinthians, but your heart is narrow. Your heart is narrow. My heart is not narrow. He says, my heart is enlarged. This is the love that we need in a church life. I don't think I need to say more. But without this kind of love, you cannot build a church. There's no way you can build a church. How are you going to build a church? Because you're going to exclude me one day. If I offended you, this John, forget him. Let's not invite him anymore. Better he stays somewhere in California and don't come to Toronto again, ever. Right. And we'll say the same thing about you. How can the church be built? That's why in the whole Bible, the unique way of building up the body of Christ is in love. Not in your love nor mine, but in the love of Christ. The love of God shed abroad into our heart through the Holy Spirit. It is by that love that a church can be built up. The light is for your walk. You need to know where you're going. You need to know what is hindering. You need to know your condition so that you can change. We must walk in the light. But the love is for the brothers. You must love the brethren for the building up of his church, caring for one another. You love as the Lord loved you. That's the key, brother. You're right. Absolutely. This is what God wants. This is the way of eternal life. Otherwise, we're talking about life, just something, function, you should speak, you should that, do this, you should do that, serve this, and do. The life is not for activities, actions, doing a lot of things. Don't worry about that, because if you have eternal life, automatically you will do what needs to be done. You don't have to appoint me to do the cleaning service. If I walk around and I see a paper on the floor, I'll pick it up. This morning I walked in the corridor and I saw somebody's tissue paper on the floor. I picked it up. It's not my service in the church life. I'm not a cleaning service. But it's my life. If you see something that needs to be picked up, and picked it up, put it on the trash can. Because that's the life that is in you. If you have the eternal life, increasing, growing within you. There are so many things that you will just do it when needed. No need to, you must do this, or don't do that. No, you don't need to do that. And do everything in love, because you love the Lord and you love the saints. Then you do it. So love is very important. There's so many verses. We cannot cover all the verses. I don't want to keep you sitting for so long. And I don't want to be standing here so long. You're sitting so long and I'm standing so long here. But we know that we have come out, passed from death unto life. Do you know? Have you passed from death unto life? Have we? Amen. How do you know? Because you believe in the Bible. Because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Huh?
Because we love the brethren.
Okay. Do you love the brothers? I'm trying my best. So that means you're trying your best to pass from death unto life. You have not passed 100% from death unto life. Because we love the brothers. And love includes compassion, mercy. You know, many times, we brothers, especially the younger ones, we have no compassion. We not only have a chicken heart, we are cold-blooded, like a fish. Even if it's minus 30, you can survive. Because your heart is colder than minus 30. No compassion. You have no understanding. You don't understand when people are having difficulties. You have no understanding. You do not sympathize with anyone. Because you think you're so great. You think you're perfect. So you don't sympathize with others. Until one day when the Lord exposes you, then you begin to see, oh my, I was just like that. Why is it that this wonderful great high priest, that he has to become a man? And because we are partakers of flesh and blood, so one day he himself became a man, and he had to go through all of our sufferings and difficulties. Suppose the Lord was born in a Bill Gates family, and he has everything in his house, wow, even electronic, and wow, my goodness, everything is automatic. And when he walked into the room, just let there be light. Poof, and there was light. Speech recognition. And whatever he wants, there are 10 servants there serving him. How about that? Then he sees someone who is poor and didn't have anything to eat and suffering, he was and crying. Why are you crying? What are you complaining about? Why are you complaining about this and that and that and that? Well, because he never had any lack. But these poor people, they're complaining. But you don't understand why somebody's complaining. Why don't you come to meetings? Well, I have to work. Well, you have to love the Lord more than the work. Come to the meeting. Well, you don't need to work because you're a millionaire. You can go to any meeting, and even midnight meeting, because you don't have to wake up in the morning. I have to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And you don't understand that. If that is the way we are, you cannot build a church. How can you build a church? You cannot feel the need of other people. You don't know. You don't realize the sufferings of other people. So the Lord was born in a manger. He didn't even have place. No hospital, no maternity room, no gynecologist. No, oh my goodness, there's no nurses there helping, and there's just a few horses there. You want to ask the horses to pull the baby out? He went through all kinds of sufferings of mankind. He knew what it means to be poor. He knew what it means to go through sufferings, to be looked down upon. And so many areas of our life, many times we just have no sympathy with other people because we don't know. What people are going through, you don't know. So love includes all of this. When the Lord was on this earth, he sympathized with sinners. Because he was also tempted. So when he was tempted, he realized, my, it is really difficult to overcome temptation. So when somebody fell, he realized it was not easy. So he had compassion with us. So in the church life, the more we live Christ, who had gone through this human living and was mistreated, was looked down upon, was rejected. And how people treated him. And finally he was crucified. He went through all of these. So today he can realize. You and I, if somebody just disagrees with you, your face turns red. Your color changes. Just because somebody disagrees with you. How dare you? Don't you know I'm a leading brother here? My goodness. Then you are truly disqualified. We really need to see. This love is not from us. This love is the Lord's love. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And you know what this love is. So may the Lord really have mercy on us. Eternal life is expressed through this wonderful love. If you say you have life and you do not love the brothers, I'm not saying you hate, just not loving the brothers. They still abide in death, the Lord says. There's no life. This is not life. God is love. We can continue some other time, maybe tomorrow or tonight. Time is up, but I think this is enough, right? Praise the Lord. Amen.